The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbontoni. It's National Quiet Day. Should we be quiet today?
Huh? Did you say something? What? What?
Yeah, not National Hard of Hearing Day. Like when you're an Amtrak guy, you're an Amtrak veteran.
Yep.
Do you like the quiet car? Because I hate it.
I like the idea of the quiet car. What I don't like is the quiet car police. That if you say anything at all, 10 people come up and want to throw you off the train. You back off, Sparky.
Enough. I want to swing on somebody. I want to go Juwan Howard on somebody at that point.
Good reference. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, are Kyler Murray and the Cardinals back on the same page? Could DeMar DeRozan win MVP? And what should Georgetown do about Patrick Ewing? But we begin today with James Harden's debut as a Philadelphia 76er. They play tonight in Minnesota against the Timberwolves, who beat Memphis last night. That's a good win. Wilbon, what do you expect from the Sixers in Harden's first game with them tonight?
Well, Tony, I expect them to, sort of be, wading around, trying to figure each other out a little bit, particularly Embiid and Harden. No amount of practices, is going to get you ready for that. But the thing I'm really curious about is just specifically with Harden, and it's this. Are we going to see the James Harden, who was a 35-point scorer in Houston, and came out and said, I'm establishing myself, this is my spot, and here's how we're going to roll? Or do we get the Harden from last year when Kyrie Irving said to him, sort of famously, you be the point guard. I know that nominally I'm the point guard. You're the point guard. And, of course, Harden went out and averaged like 11 assists a game, and you and I firmly believed he was the MVP for that period in the league before he got hurt. So which one of those guys are we going to see? And can you be a hybrid? So I'm really fascinated by that dynamic.
I think this is James Harden's last chance. I do. I think that people have soured on James Harden because he quit in Houston and he quit in Brooklyn. And if he fails here or if he quits again, I think he'll ultimately end up on a team like Sacramento with no title chances, some team like that. I just think that, like with Ben Simmons, not his last chance. It's a reboot for Ben Simmons.
Right.
But
agreed.
With Harden at 31 years old, you run out of teams, you run out of chances. And this is what I think is going to happen, Mike. I think he's going to be great. Absolutely great. Just like he was last year when we both thought he was the best guard in basketball and could have and maybe should have been the MVP. I think he's going to be so great because Doc Rivers has coached great players before in tandem. He'll figure out a way to get Embiid and Harden working together. Embiid's going to love it because unlike Simmons, Harden will shoot so everybody won't collapse on Joel Embiid. Mike, I'm going way out on a limb here. I think they're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think they're going to win it. I think they're going to be in the NBA Finals because of James Harden.
Wow. Tony, I'm not going to try to argue against any of that because I, like you, think they have all the elements. And obviously now, I mean, look, if you're a coach, Doc Rivers has been coaching for a long time. If you get the two players, you don't need a super team. You don't need a big three. You got the two of them. You got Embiid playing like he's been playing this season, and you've got a Harden who, Tone, if there's not the greatest sense of urgency in his career, then we will have both miscalculated. I agree with you entirely. I won't say it's his last chance, but it's his best chance right now, this year and next year, and it starts tonight. Let's move to the Bulls, retaking first place in the Eastern Conference by beating the Hawks last night. DeMar DeRozan scored 37, including 12 in the fourth quarter, 5 in the final minute, to lead the Bulls to victory. It was DeRozan's 8th consecutive game, scoring 35 or more, while shooting 50% or better from the floor, extending an all-time record he set last week. Tone, does DeMar DeRozan, a name we never mention in this context, deserve serious consideration for MVP?
Absolutely he does. I don't understand, Mike, why you're always saying it's Joel Embiid's. I don't know what he has done that is so spectacular. He's on a third-place team. DeMar DeRozan is on a first-place team. DeMar DeRozan, I know you know these numbers. Chicago was 31-41 last year without DeRozan. They're 39-21 with DeRozan, and he is the main new addition. He's averaging 28 points a game. He's shooting 51% from the field. Mike, DeMar DeRozan is doing this year for the Bulls what Chris Paul did last year for the Phoenix Suns when we both thought he was a legitimate MVP candidate. So I definitely think he is. With Paul out now, with so many stars hurt, and with Milwaukee and Philadelphia behind Chicago, I think it's DeRozan. Here's what I think hurts DeRozan. Although he was a good player on Toronto and a good player on San Antonio, he's never been on a championship team. And famously, Toronto traded him for Kawhi, and then they won. And I think that has landed on DeRozan unfairly.
Yeah, Tone, I agree with you. I was, you know, trying to explain to the Bulls fanatic I live with, my son, who says, DeRozan, why isn't DeRozan getting more chatter? And I say, here's why, Matthew. There's a run-up. This is not a Lifetime Achievement Award, and maybe that's wrong, but it's real. There's a run-up to MVP. I mean, even Chris Paul finished early in his career, finished second, I think, to Kobe. Even there was a run-up for him. And Tony, now, sadly, that Chris Paul's, you know, more or less out of this because he's going to miss the rest of the regular season. It's Embiid and DeRozan. And look, I'll take DeRozan over Embiid right now with the tiebreaker being first place versus whatever the Philly's in, third or fourth, or maybe fifth seed right now.
Third place.
So I'll do that, Tony. Yeah. And by the way, DeRozan right now is on the list. When you combine the 35 points with 50% shooting, Tony, the list is Wilt. Who has that? You know, not in the get-up era. The list is Wilt Chamberlain.
Let me give you another list. And okay. That is people who have done this. He's the seventh player to go 35 or 35 plus in eight straight games. And when you say the list is Wilt, people don't really get that. They'll get this list. The other six are Wilt, Elgin Baylor, Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, and James Harden. Wow. And this guy, by the way, last night, he shoots twos. He doesn't shoot
threes. He doesn't miss.
He was 15-21 last night.
Yeah.
15-21. He's the MVP for me, but I don't vote and you do. We move now to Georgetown, which was once a very, very big deal in college basketball. The Hoyas lost their 17th game in a row last night when they were beaten at home by DePaul, which was also a very, very big deal in college basketball once upon a time. Georgetown is now 6-21 overall, 0-16 in the Big East. They're coached by their greatest player, Patrick Ewing. Wilbon, you have a long history with Patrick Ewing. Do you expect Georgetown to ride this out with Ewing?
Tone, I think they could, despite the numbers and what might happen at other places, big schools, big state schools and not small privates, when you lose like this. And you're right, it's a long history. I've known Patrick Ewing my entire life and his entire life. And there are times now, to be honest, I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm objective or detached. I will drop a text to Patrick after a particularly big win, like in the tournament last year, or particularly difficult loss. Because I know him in that way. I root for him. Patrick Ewing, the faces of Georgetown have been John Thompson, Patrick Ewing, and now more recently Allen Iverson. But in our time, John Thompson, Patrick Ewing.
That's right.
And Patrick Ewing has been the heartbeat of Georgetown basketball. And so I know this losing is historic. Tony, the volume of it makes you go, oh, my goodness, how long are they going to stay with him? And that chatters around. I'm part of some of those text chains. I root for him. I hope they will. I hope he can turn his way around and fight his way out of this. I do.
Makes me sad. This story makes me sad. The disintegration into irrelevance by Georgetown makes me sad. I loved it when Georgetown and Maryland were winning championships with John Thompson and Gary Williams. The Georgetown fired John Thompson III. Hope the people who wanted that are happy now. They fired him, the son of the most important person ever in Georgetown basketball history. And they fired him. They brought in Patrick Ewing. They kept it in the family. It appears to be too large for Patrick Ewing right now. The program is sinking. He's foundering. I understand these things. But I don't think that Georgetown can or should get rid of Patrick Ewing. I don't think they can. Because he is that important to the history of Georgetown basketball. Now, he could quit, Mike. He could quit. But if you walk out now, You'll never be a head coach again anywhere. You'll end up in the NBA as an assistant. Yeah. So I hope he rides it out, and I hope it works, but I'm not sure, and neither are you. We're not
Patrick
sure.
Patrick Ewing, he doesn't quit. I don't see that. And sometimes, yes, you can say, you know what, I want to do this for the good of my alma mater. It's his alma mater. He's not some outsider. He's helped define the history of that program, largely. So we're together on this, too, Tony. I hope he can turn it around. I hope there's a miracle in there.
Let's take a break, but coming up, number 5, Kansas meets number 10, Baylor, tomorrow, and we will ask Jay Billis which team we should be more bullish on.
And we'll also ask him who, if anybody, can measure up to Gonzaga. Yeah, it's hard with these games. It's hard watching the Georgetown games, and I watch some of them because I want him to do well.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We have a big Saturday in college hoops, which makes it a great time to welcome back our dear friend, the unabashedly bald, Jay Billis. And let's start with this. You're in Waco for number 5, Kansas, at number 10, Baylor. Which of these two teams are you more bullish on right now before they play?
Kansas. Baylor is undefeated this year when they have a full roster, but they don't have a full roster right now. LJ Cryer has missed 8 of the last 9 games. I'm not sure whether he's going to play against Kansas. That's how difficult it's been. And they lost their big guy, Jonathan Chamwa-Chachua, for the season. He was injured against Texas, and he's their best defender. He's a great ball screen defender. He can guard a point guard coming off a ball screen and stay in front of him, and he's a good rebounder, and he really runs the floor, so they're without him. I think that really takes Baylor down a notch. It doesn't mean they can't win. They can. But Kansas may not be as talented as Bill Self's Final Four and national championship teams this year, but they're legit. And Jalen Wilson is really starting to come around, where he's their best rebounder and excellent in transition, can really pass it. And then Ochai Agbaji and Christian Brown have been great all year. Brown's as versatile a player as there is in the college game for a wing. And Abaji's averaging 20 points a game, and he's the best three-point shooter in the Big 12.
Jay, it sounds insane to suggest for a second that Kentucky can fly under the radar for most of the season. They're ranked 6th, playing against number 18, Arkansas. But every time I watch Kentucky, I'm like, my goodness, they look like Kentucky to me. Are they that good, and why have they not gotten more attention to this point?
Kentucky's really good, and the weird part, Michael, is in years past under John Calipari, we'd be talking about how young they are, and with so many freshmen, integrating freshmen, getting them to play together and all that stuff, they're super talented, but how's it going to go? But this is the oldest team that Kentucky's had in 40 years, and it's ridiculous. You know, John doesn't teach him how to shave, and he says it's great, everybody's on time, and he doesn't have to do the little things with these guys. They have a number of transfers, so integrating all the different transfers into one cohesive unit happened quicker than I thought it would. Their age and experience was probably helpful in that. But they've had some injury issues, too. They've had Xavier Wheeler out at times. Ty Washington has been out. But they found ways to win. And one of the reasons is Kellen Grady, the transfer from Davidson, who can really shoot it. I mean, he's playing great. He had 28 points the other day when those two guards were out. And Davion Mintz has taken over the point guard spot while Xavier Wheeler and Ty Washington have been out. I don't know when those guys are going to be back. I think there's a little hesitancy to put them back in there and just save them for the stretch run a little bit. But Kentucky's as good as anybody. When they're healthy, they are as good as anybody.
Let's stay in the SEC, Jay, and Bruce Pearl, of course, returns to Knoxville, where Tennessee's already beaten Arizona and Kentucky. I mean, should we be paying a little bit more attention to the Volunteers at this point, and do you like how they match up with Auburn?
I do like how they match up because Tennessee is really good on the defensive end. They are gritty and they're tough and they make things really difficult for you to get out in transition. And they're difficult to get in the paint on. Now, they lost a player, too. They lost Olivier Kamwa, but they've gone small at times. They've played two big guys at times, but their guards are really good. You know, Santiago Vescovi is one of the best guards in the country, left-hander, really talented, good passer. They really play two point guards with Kennedy Chandler. And I think they're starting to score more efficiently. That's always been sort of the knock on Tennessee the last couple years is, man, they can really guard you, but they get stuck offensively. And I don't think they do this year, at least not as much. They did against Texas Tech. I had that game, and you know, people said it was like watching paint dry, and I said no, it was like watching dried paint chip because neither team could score. But they're scoring much more efficiently now.
All right, we get you out of here on this. Number one, Gonzaga plays at number 23, St. Mary's. Gonzaga, I believe, is unanimous in the poll as the number one team. Is St. Mary's, or Jay, let's widen it out, is anyone especially equipped to beat Gonzaga?
Not in the West Coast Conference, and this is one of the best years the West Coast Conference has ever had. I mean, St. Mary's, BYU, San Francisco are all tournament-quality teams, but Gonzaga is so much better, and that's not a knock on the other teams. They're legit. But Gonzaga is so much better. And Chet Holmgren, their superstar freshman, has improved leaps and bounds over the course of the year. So I think Gonzaga is a much better team than played Duke out in Vegas earlier in UCLA. And they beat UCLA, lost to Duke. They're not as good as they were last year. But last year was an extraordinary team that was undefeated going into the final. But Gonzaga, I think, is the best offensive team. And I'm not sure that's a close call. If their defense continues to get better, and it has, they're legit. They're good enough to cut the Nets down. All this stuff about, oh, they play in a smaller conference, and of course they're going to win their conference games, that's nonsense. Because you look at their tournament record over the last 10 years, and very few teams, if any, can match it. Gonzaga is the real deal and has been for a long time.
Thank you, Jay, as always. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Jay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You can catch more of Jay tomorrow on College Game Day from Waco. Let's take one last break, but still to come, have Kyler Murray and the Cardinals really mended their relationship?
I don't know. And what will tonight's return of Paige Bueckers do for the 7th-ranked UConn Huskies? 7th-ranked. That's so low for them.
I love the name Ty Ty.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We'll be right back.
Happy time, people. Happy 59th birthday, Paul O'Neill. The Yankees just announced they would retire O'Neill's number 21 at a ceremony on August 21st. Will Bonnew slammed this decision, saying O'Neill didn't deserve it. I will point out that O'Neill is now a Yankee broadcaster, so he's family to a degree. In his 9 years as a Yankee outfielder, O'Neill batted .303, had 185 homers, 858 RBI. He won the batting title in 1994 at .359. He was a four-time All-Star. And most importantly, O'Neill was on four World Series champions. Now, he's not Ruther Gehrig. I concede he's the most questionable of the 23 Yankees with retired numbers. But as a Yankee, Mike, he was quite good.
I know. I should shut up. I was dead wrong. Tony, not only that, he is more than just sort of maybe family. He's been a broadcaster there with the YES Network for 20 years. And that's what the Yankees and Celtics do. By the way, the Yankees just one-up the Celtics. Celtics have one fewer number retired now that the Yankees have retired O'Neill's. It's something like 23, 22. That's crazy. But look, those franchises have earned the right to do whatever they want without criticism from me. Wilbon, shut up.
The Yankees just pulled a Rafa Nadal by going one up on retired numbers.
That's right.
A not-so-happy anniversary to Manu Ginobili's shoe. Around this day 8 years ago, long before anybody had heard of Zion Williamson, Ginobili planted his left foot and his shoe exploded. All you see as he walks to the sideline is his sock. Ginobili's up for the Hall of Fame this year. He had a very distinguished career. Before he came from Argentina at age 25 to play for the Spurs, Ginobili was a two-time EuroLeague scoring champion. He played 16 years in San Antonio, scored 13 points a game, and was on four NBA champions with Tim Duncan and Tony Parker. He also led Argentina to the gold medal in the 2004 Olympics.
Tony, straight to the Hall of Fame. A finalist into the Hall of Fame. And Tony Parker, both of them. Ginobili, I mean, an underrated great athlete, great teammate. I was wondering whether they should have gotten more votes for top 75 of all time. He and Parker didn't reach that, but man, their greatness. Is San Antonio ever going to see anything like that again with those guys twinned in that backcourt?
No. Happy trails to tension between Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. A week or so ago, the news was that Murray had scrubbed the Cardinals from his Instagram account and was posing in his old Oklahoma jersey and an Oakland A's jersey, suggesting he was interested in playing baseball. The tea leaves seemed to read that Murray wanted out of Arizona. But the news now is that Cardinals owner Michael Bidwill is all in on Murray, telling 98.7 FM in Arizona that Murray is, quote, part of our long-term plan, unquote, and saying, quote, put me in the corner of I love him, unquote. Plus, there's now a picture of Kyler Murray in a Cardinals uniform on his Instagram account, and the NFL Network is reporting that Murray and the Cardinals are working on a long-term deal.
Yeah, you can take the viewpoint that this is going to be that easy to reverse. I ain't taking that. I got to see what happens on the field, particularly late in seasons when he's not been very good.
All right, let's go to the big finish. Eric Bieniemy will return to the Chiefs as offensive coordinator. Does that make sense?
Maybe not for him. I mean, no matter how good he is at it, nobody seems to want to hire him. I don't know how that works for him personally. Paige Bueckers returns for UConn tonight. That's a big deal, right?
Yeah, last year she was the best basketball player in the country. I mean, let me get the number right. They were 15-4 without her. They're going to be much, much better with her, I would think.
I think so.
Nebraska will bring back Fred Hoiberg next season. Does that make sense to you?
Tone, 7-20 this season, 21-65 overall. I don't know that it makes sense. I really don't. I ain't trying to hate on Fred Hoiberg either, but just saying, Mac Jones wants to cut back on his ice cream consumption. Is that a good idea? Would you do that?
It's a terrible idea. The GOAT ate avocado ice cream all the time. It's a terrible idea. Eat the avocado ice cream. Last one, the Celtics beat the Nets by 23 in Brooklyn. Were you impressed?
Yeah, Brooklyn didn't put a real team out there. They won't for another week, apparently. Get Durant back at some point. Ben Simmons, who knows? But I'm impressed with the Celtics. I told you that yesterday.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can see Greeny, Stephen A., Jalen, and me duke it out on Countdown at 7. We get a lot of energy from being off. And now, here's SportsCenter.
So much better not being on the iPad, being in the real camera. Doesn't feel like it's like right in my face all the time. Happy about that.